Today's message was preached in the Trinity Bible Church pulpit in East Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic.
Welcome to this service in which we will be ministering, preaching, worshiping the name of the Lord. Before we start our exposé of the scripture, we want to remind you guys, my brethren, a note. We must create an environment in our homes, in that room where we are, the living room, or anywhere where we are located, reunited as a family. We must create a climate and an environment which is spiritual. We are to strive for our children to be sitting down, to be ministered by the Spirit of God. We are not to allow our children to be around playing or watching TV or on internet, completely disconnected from what we are doing as a local church, as a family, worshiping the Lord. We are to strive for everyone who is under our roof to be sitting down in the presence of the Lord with a reverent spirit, with a proper composure, behavior, acknowledging that we are in the presence of God. In such context, my dear brethren, is when we are to present our service to God. Our bodies, our souls are to be presented before Him in such reverent spirit, with composure, with quietness. There, in the presence of God, we are to offer our souls and our bodies, and that includes our whole family. Let us not deprive our children from that privilege of being in the presence of God, being ministered by the Holy Spirit, and at the same time having themselves presenting the Lord with the proper service to our Lord. We want to continue our series with the blessings. Let us go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. The Lord says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called children of God." Let us pray. Our Lord and Sovereign Father, we want to welcome you this time to this worship service. Thank you, Father, for granting us the privilege of having you in our homes, of having you in our lives, to be reverent to you, to glorify you and exalt you, for everything you have done on our behalf, granting us the gift of physical life, and above that, the gift of spiritual life. Thank you, Father, for granting us the blessing of making peace with you and having us constituted as peacemakers. Infinite thanks to you, O Lord, for providing us with a new birth with which you made us your children. Thank you for adopting us to be constituted as children and members of your family. Thank you for the immense amount of brethren from which we are a part of. We bless you, we acknowledge you in this hour. Please yourself in blessing us with your scripture and amplifying in our minds and head and hearts the knowledge of that blessed relationship that there is in between our souls and the Holy Trinity, from which we are children. Bless us and glorify yourself. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed. Blessing, happiness is one of the most coveted merchandises by the humankind. We are born with hunger for happiness because we were conceived by God to be blessed and happy creatures. Naturally, sin deprived us from the source of happiness that we would have experienced every day of our lives through our fellowship and personal relationship with God. Here, the Lord Jesus establishes one more path so that we can experience that happiness from which all of us lack, the one that all of us need. Happy are the peacemakers because they will be called children of God. We are considering the features, qualities, or vital signs which characterize those who have been fathered by God to be His children. The first vital sign that we can use to identify a child of God is regeneration. In biology, the word regeneration is used to describe the process by which the cells of our organs recover when they have been damaged by a disease. The word regeneration is used in the same way to express the act through which God restores our souls and all of our qualities that have been damaged by original sin and its fruits. With regeneration, the eyes of the soul recover the capacity to see and acknowledge the spiritual world. With regeneration, our minds, our spiritual minds are recovered to have the capacity of knowing God. Through regeneration, our will is recovered to be able to obey God and submit to Him, through His seniority and government. Through regeneration, our consciousness is restored so that it may develop its work as a prosecutor, as a judge, in order to discern between good and evil, to approve or disapprove our behavior. The affections through regeneration are also recovered so that we can have the capacity to love God above everything, so that we can love our neighbor as ourselves. Our heart recovers the capacity to find delight in God, as in nothing else we can find delight in this world. Regeneration recovers all of the soul faculties to their original status so that they can develop their role in our spiritual lives in the context of our relationship with God. He as a father and us as His children. We have also seen that another distinctive mark of the children of God is sensitiveness, spiritual sensitiveness. This sensitiveness enables us so that we can respond to God with love, with devotion, with worship, with gratitude, with thanksgiving and praises. As a response to everything that He has done and everything He will do in our lives. Thirdly, we also consider that another vital sign that identifies the children of God is the image of Christ in which we are recreated. The image is a visual representation. It is a visual representation of that which represents, whether it is a person or a thing. The photograph is a visual representation of that person that has taken such picture, and our lives are to be the visual representation of the life of the Lord Jesus. The Mona Lisa is a woman figure or image. We are to be an image of Christ. We are to represent the figure, the image of the person or the humanity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The fourth mark that identifies the children of God is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is another quality which is distinctive of every child of God. Let's ask ourselves, what are the children of Satan full of? The children of the devil. In Acts 13, verse 10, we are told the answer, we are given the answer to this question. You, son of the devil, who are full of every deceit and fraud, you enemy of every justice and righteousness, won't you stop twisting the straight paths of the Lord? That is the characteristic of everyone who belong to the children of Satan. They are full of every deceit and every fraud. They are enemies of righteousness, and that is the distinctive mark of every man and every woman who is not part of God's family. Now, in contrast with them, with the children of the devil, also the children of God can be clearly identified by the fullness of the Spirit of God. The wicked man is full of every deceit and every fraud, and those who have been constituted as children of God have emptied themselves from every deceit and every fraud, and instead of it, they are now full of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 asks this question, or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is within you, the one you have from God, and you no longer belong to yourselves? We can observe that exactly as Satan fills up the heart of those who are his children with every deceit and fraud, the Holy Spirit fills up now everyone who is a child of God. And Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, it is appointed. It is, we find a list of the fruits produced by the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the lives of those who are part of the family of God. This fullness of the Spirit of God enables us to walk in the Spirit, to live a life in the Spirit. That life in the Spirit is to be shown through the fruits which are produced by the Spirit of God, which fills up the heart and the life of the believers. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it states, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faith, meekness, steadfastness. Against such things there is no law. But those who are from Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and wishes. If we live through the Spirit, we are also to walk through the Spirit. Let's not grow in vanity, irritating each other and envying each other. And this morning I want us to center, to focus, and considering those fruits of the Spirit of God which adorn the character and the life of the children of God. This is important for us to study it and know it, because it is absolutely important and necessary that we are able to identify these qualities in our lives, because they are the ones which identify us as children of God. They authenticate us as children of God. If these qualities or these fruits are not part of our character, then we are not part of God's family yet. We are not part of this family which has God as a Father yet. And this list provided by Apostle Paul about the qualities and fruits of the Holy Spirit, and those which have it, that he starts with love. In order to know how the fruit of love is, and which is called to adorn our character, we are first of all to ask the question, how is the love that identifies the character of God? In 1 John 4:8, it states that the one who doesn't love does not belong to God, because God is love. The love of God is inherent. He does not receive it from anyone. He, in his intrinsic nature and every one of his attributes, of his essential attributes, the prime matter that constitutes it is love. God's love is inherent. His love is eternal. His love is sovereign. His love is infinite. It is never changing. It is holy. It is good. We are to always pray, asking, beseeching, and looking for God to fill up our hearts, so that he fills up the recipients of our souls with that eternal, sovereign, infinite, never-changing, holy and good love, which is called to fill up our hearts. In such way, we are enabled to love, to supremely love God above everything that we love. In such way, we will be enabled to love our neighbor as ourselves. such love as a quality of the Spirit of God which fills up our hearts must also adorn our character. This is why, when we are filled up with this love, we will have a character and a life which will be attractive. It will be attractive to those which are around us. We will have a love which is given. Love gives, love serves. Love gives the best of us to promote, to seek for the goodness of our loved ones and our neighbor in general. When we supremely love God, we will give ourselves to working hardly for the expansion of His kingdom above everything in this world. Our greatest effort will not be for our earthly fortune to grow up, but the kingdom of God in this world. That's why we are to pray for the love, for the Lord to fill us up with that ocean of love which gives, which sacrifices, and that is a fruit which must adorn the character of every children of God, of every child of God. Love. Another fruit which is mentioned by Apostle Paul here, secondly, is joy. A dictionary states that the joy which is produced by the Holy Spirit is much more than a feeling. It describes a supreme trust and intrinsic joy, happiness, based on the faithfulness of God, based on who He is, and based on the goodness of God toward His children. When our souls have entrusted their confidence in the character and promises of God, they will continuously experience from God a fountain of joy, an intrinsic fruit of our nature from the fellowship with God as our Father. And all of it, when we understand, when we comprehend that God is a faithful God, that in Him we are completely secure, and from Him we will obtain an absolute response for each and every one of our temporary needs and also our spiritual needs. Therefore, there will be nothing, absolutely nothing in this world, nor the physical world or the spiritual world, that deprives us from that joy. Because the joy that is experienced by the heart is not based on the circumstances that surround us. The joy that our heart experiences is founded on the faithfulness of God. It is founded on who God is. It is founded on the goodness of the character of God on behalf of His children. For such reason, this joy that we are spoken about here as a fruit of the Holy Spirit is a joy which characterizes every child of God. Another quality which adorns the character of God's children, besides love and joy, which are everlasting in their lives, is also peace. That's the third fruit, which shows the presence of the Spirit of God in our hearts, And as a consequence, our family fellowship with God as our Father, the peace that shows up here as a fruit of the Spirit, is the one that was prophesied by Isaiah when he said, "Your God will preserve in complete peace the one who perseveres in you, because he has trusted you." The Hebrew term shamar, which is translated as saving or guarding, means barbed wire. Our Heavenly Father has prepared a fence of barbed wire around our hearts, around our souls, around our lives. With which purpose has He created this fence and has placed it around all of our lives? In order to grant our security, to grant our wellness, in order to grant His care above us. With such fence around our lives and our souls, the devil and every external enemy is left outside. But also through this fence, we are prevented from the remaining sin that still lives within us to take us to jump the rope to the outside, to be taken to inhabitable terrains or places where the devil dwells. Within this fence, neither or none of the enemies of our souls will be able to reach us. We enjoy the faithfulness of God's love. We will be able to experience the sweet fellowship with God. There we will be able to enjoy the indescribable riches of His grace. Praised be the Lord for such fence, for this shamar that has been placed around us. And obviously this is a very graphical language, which is the language of those farmers, that in order to guard their cattle, they build a barbed wire fence around. And through this fence, it is prevented not only for the cattle to escape, but also for the enemies of his cattle to enter in and subtract or damage the cattle. God has created this fence, barbed wire fence to guard us, to protect us from every enemy, from those within us, and from those which remain outside. And this barbed wire fence created by the grace of God is what produces within us composure behavior and a harmonious state of mind, also, which allows us to enjoy the life that God grants us in every aspect of His providence, which will always work on our behalf, whether it is in the context of bitter situations, which we will have to drink, or in the context of sweet situations that we are to experience in our lives. Second Thessalonians 3:16, the scripture says that the very Lord of peace will always grant peace to you in every circumstance. What is Paul asking for this church of the Thessalonians? That this shamar, that this fence of barbed wire always remains around the souls of the men and women who were part of that church. So that in every circumstance, they could remain in a quiet behavior, in peace, living in harmony with God and enjoying the complete fullness, every spiritual good and every material good that God in His grace and providence would bring to their lives. Is peace a mark which identifies your character, your behavior, that identifies your life as a child of God? Another mark which identifies the our fatherhood, if we are filled up with the Spirit of God, is patience. Patience is another virtue which characterizes the behavior of those that have been fathered by God. Patience enables us to wait, in line, in other words. In order for us to remain in such line, waiting for the divine response to our needs, waiting for the spiritual answer in the context of afflictions, of depriving, of necessities, many times urgent needs, but we are still quiet, waiting in line, waiting peacefully and in tranquility for God in His time to remove the trial or to remove the heavy burden that we have been carrying on for a long time. Patience enables us to wait. It is the capacity to wait in line, no matter how long it is. I know some people, especially wives, which have been waiting for 20 years in such a line, waiting for God to change the horrible behavior of that husband, which is always irresponsible, always drunk, which only gives bitterness, sadness and pain to her, but she is carrying that cross patiently, the cross of that unconverted husband, waiting for God in His time to change his mind, his heart and his behavior to that man. Patience is the grace that enables her to wait for that long line in which she remains standing, waiting for the Lord to change those circumstances that for many years have bittered her life through the behavior of such men or such women in the opposite case, which are unconverted, unfaithful. Patience is a distinctive mark of the children of God and evidences or shows up that we are filled up with the Spirit of God, that we possess God's Spirit, that we are controlled by the Spirit of God in our hearts. Another mark which distinguishes God's children is goodness. When they are full of the Spirit of God, goodness, this word goodness in the Bible is translated from the word in Greek, Christos, which is used to describe God's character in a particular way, in his relationship with the non-converted world. Christos, based on Luke 6:35, therefore love your enemies, do good, and give out without waiting for anything in return, and your reward will be greater, and you will be children of the Most High, because He, the Most High, our God and Father, is good for the ungrateful and the wicked ones. The word Christos, which is used in here, is applied to God's character, because He is good. The Greek word is has been used as a base conjugation. It is a continuous present in every time, in every circumstance, in every place, everywhere. He is good. He was good, he is good, and he will be good. That is his character. And that is exactly what every child of God must also be. Continuously, with no interruptions. The children of God must be like their father. Good. Christos. The word Christos in Greek is a synonym of softness, of delicacy, sweetness. It is a synonym of tenderness in the treatment to others. That is the meaning of the word Christos, as expanding its meaning in such a way that goodness is the characteristic of the Holy Spirit, which is given by the Holy Spirit in order for us to treat with softness, with tenderness, those who do not deserve such treatment. Does an enemy deserve that you treat them with goodness, with softness, with tenderness? What do they deserve? Death. God demands from us that we treat our enemies not as they deserve, but according to the grace of God Himself, who is our Father, of course. He is good to the ungrateful and the wicked ones. Oh, how many ungrateful people that deserve to be in hell today. Oh, wow. But our Father does not send them to hell. He gives them 70, 80, 90 years for them to repent from their ingratitude so that they can come to the repentance and faith which is in Jesus Christ. He is patient with everyone, not wanting anyone to perish, but all of them to come to repentance. That is God's character, God's heart. He is good. Good to the ungrateful and good for the wicked ones. He is Christos. Ephesians 4:32 states, but remove every anger and every malice, but be good towards one another. The word Christos again, be good to one another. Treat each other with goodness, with softness, with tenderness. That's what Paul is saying here. We are to be Christos with each other, merciful, forgiving ourselves, each other, as God forgave you in Jesus Christ. It is a quality which adorns the children of God, which are full of the Holy Spirit. Goodness is another quality. It also characterizes the children of God. With this word, we describe the natural inclination of God's children's heart to seek for and promote somebody else's good. This word describes the attitude and the heart of God's children in which the interest is manifested in a positive and proactive way to seek for the good of our neighbor. The Greek word agasophone is described in the dictionary that it is a covenant love which compromises us to be solidary and responsible, to go and help of
el carácter de Dios, ese es el corazón de Dios. Es el amor de pacto que
it is a covenant love which compels us to be solidary and responsible
para ir en auxilio
to go and help
de quienes
of those
sufren
which suffer
como consecuencias
as a consequence
de las privaciones materiales
of the material deprivations
de las privaciones
has been deprived from spiritual goods. This goodness enables us to go and aid of those which are victims of their own mistakes, their sins, and any other consequences of their negative behavior. Also, this grace enables us to go and seek for and help those who have experienced some kind of calamity or calamities. And my dear brethren, that is the reason or the grace that have compelled us for many years to go help and serve Haiti. Not only looking for material goods, but also spiritual goods. Seeking for temporary goods as well. So that through the established means by God, we can provide with biblical answers, responses to their temporary and also spiritual necessities. Goodness compels us or pushes us as a local church to give a response to the necessities of the less fortunate on this earth. The good person refuses to do bad because they are controlled by a virtuous and great righteous behavior in their treatments with their neighbors. They who are good do not do bad to their neighbor because their behavior is influenced by goodness. And that takes them to exhibit a virtuous behavior, which is also integrate, righteous, honest, at the time of treating or dealing with the ones in need and helping them to resolve their necessities. For such reason, we can affirm, we can state that goodness is an essential quality of a Christian. I cannot think of a Christian person who is not good. We cannot consider as a child of God a person who is dominated by selfishness, dominated by greed, under the dominion of a cheap and stingy spirit, which prevents them from giving out from their personal comforts and temporary good things, or to provide to those which are eating the dust of total misery. Does the Spirit of God that dwells in your heart push you to go and help the less fortunate, of those who suffer, of those who are in need? Goodness is a quality that identifies the children of God, and it must not be absent in the character of any child of God. Another quality that identifies the children of God, which are filled up with the Holy Spirit, is faith. It is the seventh quality. The Greek word pistis, which shows up in here, is that tool that the Holy Spirit enables the children of God with, so that they can completely believe, so that they can completely believe and trust everything that is taught by the Scripture with no reserve whatsoever, with no doubt whatsoever, with no kind of vacillation or like a double heart. The children of God, which possess this pistis, this faith, would experience a trust and a confidence which will be absolute in every aspect of God's counsel, from Genesis to Revelation. They will believe in the same way, both in the promises and also the threats that God performs in His Scripture. Everything that has been revealed in there is of our absolute trust, of our absolute confidence. And it is a distinctive mark of God's children. Of God's children. Hebrews 11 verse 1 states that faith is the certainty of what is awaited for and the conviction of what we cannot see. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it states that without faith it is impossible to see God, because it is necessary that the one who approaches God believes that He is, and He rewards the ones who seek for Him. The word reward, or rewarding in this case, means that God provides a prize and helps prosper those who believe in what He has said and revealed in His Scripture. He provides a prize for those who believe in Him, even though they cannot see Him. He rewards those who believe Him, even though they cannot touch Him physically with the soles of their face or their arms. Even though they cannot see Him, even though they cannot touch Him, regardless of that, they seek for Him with sincerity and trust Him completely, totally and absolutely, without refusing or without putting any but in between. without any kind of reserve. The believer does not say that they need to see the proof. When it comes to God's word, the true believer will never say, it may be. The one who is a true believer will always say, it is. It is. It is so, as God has said. It is so. It will happen. It will come to pass. It will be accomplished. It is not a maybe. It will be accomplished, or perhaps. Those who have such faith, despite not seeing or feeling, they still trust with no reserve whatsoever in everything that God has said. Another quality that adorns the character of those who are children of God and are filled up with the Holy Spirit is meekness. That's the eighth characteristic of those who are filled up with the Spirit of God, and as a consequence are children of God. Meekness is the capacity, the special capacity that a person has to model or to moderate their anger. To moderate their anger, the rabbish, and all of those feelings which are sinful, which arise in the heart when a person has been provoked or moved or offended or has been harmed or deprived from something, etc. Meekness is the capacity which allows us to moderate and model both things. It models the wrath and moderates our wrath, our anger, and their harming effects which can generate inside our own hearts and obviously around those who are surrounding us, and particularly those which have moved us to anger. In other words, meekness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit which enables us to manage in a smart way, to manage ourselves in a smart way according to the principles of God's Scripture, things such as mistreat, insults, and offenses which arise in our hearts with a behavior which is burdened with anger against the one that has harmed us, offended us, humiliated us, and damaged us. Those that have trampled upon us, in other words. Those who have mopped the floor with us, with our names, with our persons. Meekness enables us to model our wrath, to moderate, to control our anger, to be the lords of our wrath, to control our wrath, because we are not made of wood. If somebody sweeps the floor with you, especially when you are innocent, it is natural that you will explode in anger. It may be similar to a volcano of anger, of wrath, but meekness enables us so that this volcano is taken out in a moderate and modeled way, in such a way that you will be able not to cross your arms, but to deal with the problem working with God's principles, to do it God's way. That's why the scripture says that a soft response curbs wrath. So what does meekness produce when using our tongues after being offended? Victims of aggression, it produces a soft answer, a soft response, which acts as a medicine to heal the evil of the ones that have mistreated, which has humiliated, which has harmed us or has deprived us from a temporary good. That's why meekness guards our hearts from that irritable spirit, which is also full of vengeance and grudge. Meekness enables us to moderate our anger so that we can be instruments of God's grace to deal with the sin, with the wickedness of the ones who have mistreated us. A soft response curbs wrath. The wrath of the one that has grown in anger against us and that was moved to mistreat us as a consequence. Meekness prevents us from paying with the same coin that we were paid with in first place. And the last quality is steadfastness. That is a quality that adorns the character of God's children when they are filled up with the Holy Spirit. Steadfastness is the virtue that enables us to control, to curb, to stop, and tranquilize the appetites, inclinations, and movements, sinful all of those, and all of those which are fleshly, to use a more Paul-like language. Steadfastness enables us to live a life with equilibrium, with moderation, in a sober way, in every aspect of our lives. Steadfastness allows us to enjoy every good thing that God gives us with equilibrium, with moderation, with soberness. In such a manner that by doing so, we will be able to truly enjoy the good things that God gives us. Eating is good. I do not believe that there is such an experience which is more pleasurable than eating, especially good things. But if you only live for eating, you might end up with some serious illness. Because if you get to eat with no control at all and become a glutton, your health will be affected by this delicious food that you could have enjoyed with equilibrium, with soberness. And the same way with every aspect of our lives. Many things are pleasurable, which produce a great pleasure, temporary pleasure. There are many things in life which are given by God so we can enjoy them in a gratifying way to our lives. But it is said that everything done in excess works for bad. God wants us to live a life full of equilibrium, soberness, and moderation. And this is only achieved when the Spirit of God produces in us this fruit which is called steadfastness. Because this fruit enables us to rule on, to stop and tranquilize the appetites of flesh, the inclinations and the movements of our flesh. From there we understand the importance of such grace in our hearts in order for us to experience a life which is full in Jesus Christ, so that we can enjoy in a complete way every single good which is given by the Lord to us. God wants us to bear a life in equilibrium, in balance, in our jobs, in our families, in our ministries. Working is a duty and it is good. But when you get to work 7 days a week, and you get to work from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., non-interruptedly, you will have some issues because you are leading a labor life which is out of equilibrium. Steadfastness allows us to get the greater benefits from the spiritual and temporary blessings which are put in our hands by the Lord, so that we can enjoy them in all of its fullness and get all of the profit, all of the flavor that they have, all of the substance that they have. And I compare this with a piece of sugar cane which is cut, and then you take it to your mouth. You are to chew it so that you can squeeze out all of the sweet sugar juice which is in there. You are to chew it and chew it and chew it. And it is good that you have good teeth in order for you to do that, so that you can extract all of the sugar juice that is in there. But if you only dedicate yourself to only eating sugar cane, you will have some issues. A balanced kind of a life allows us to enjoy every single thing that God has granted us already with. Steadfastness is good for the accomplishment of our objectives and also to accomplish our goals. When we see people that start a thing and never finish, they start 10 things in a year and they rarely get to finish one. We are in front of somebody who lacks steadfastness, and that is obviously a very bad testimony which speaks negatively of a character of a person, of a person which is experiencing such a weakness. Steadfastness enables us to persevere in reaching the goals, in achieving the objectives that they want to reach. That's why steadfastness is essential in a Christian life, because the Bible teaches that the one who perseveres till the end, they will be saved. We see so many people who come inside the church and they last 3 or 4 years with all of this fire, and little by little they walk astray little by little, and when you get to examine their character, you will get to find that steadfastness shines for its absence in the character of such person. Steadfastness also enables us to persevere in every single thing we get into, until we reach the goal, until we achieve its objective. And this is applicable to the whole universe of our lives. Above all, in the context of those things which are hard to find, hard to achieve, and hard to get. Because it is easy to persevere in things which are pleasurable, entertaining, and so on. It is easy to persevere in such context, but it is difficult to persevere in the context of doing something that does not produce any pleasure, such as praying. Prayer is not
pleasurable for the flesh. Being present in the church faithfully and guarding the holy day that the Lord has provided, it is not pleasurable for the flesh. But steadfastness enables us to renounce pleasurable things for the flesh so that we can embrace and do things which are according to God's will despite not being pleasurable for our flesh. As a summary, steadfastness is the capacity that enables us to exert self-dominion on our instincts. It is a capacity which allows us to exert self-dominion on our impulse, our fleshly impulse. In conclusion, we can also say that steadfastness is the one that enables us to maintain our conduct within the limits of honesty, modesty, and responsibility. When a person lacks steadfastness, we will be able to evaluate, consider our daily lives, my dear brethren and our friends. Our happiness is tied up to those fruits being part of our characters. Blessed are the ones, the peacemakers, because they will be called children of God. Making peace in our souls, in our personal life with God, is a reality, and that has granted us to be fathered by God, to be adopted by God, to be called His children. And my dear brethren, this relationship with God is the source of our happiness on this earth. May the Lord grant you and me the joy of experiencing this happiness of being called children of God, because our identity can be easily proven by gazing upon each and every one of these fruits, which are produced by the fullness of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. Nowadays, as we are inside our homes because of this pandemic, it is a useful time so that by the light of this mirror, we can examine ourselves, and we will always get to find mercy in the Lord. There will be always compassion for us. There will always be love for us from the Lord. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen.